Thank you, Brother John, Miss Jean. Thank you for the songs this evening. I appreciate everybody being here this evening. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And tonight we're going to be in verses 12, and we'll go to verse 19. We are going to be dealing with the seven things that God hates. And so as we look at this, we're going to start out with knowing what? Three attributes. There's probably 50 attributes of God, but we know the central themes of God through our text in the Word of God is that God is truth, God is spirit, and God is love. And so we know that in this love that it is a perfect love. It's an agape love. It's a love that is just you and I can't explain the type of love that God has for us, that He loved us, that He sent His Son to die for us. He loves us that while we were yet sinners, He let His Son die on the cross for us. He has an amazing agape love for us. And there's so many ministers today, so many teachers today, that teach so far to the left about God's love that they forget that He is a righteous God, He is a holy God, and He is a God that hates. And this is not going to be an easy message tonight. It's not going to be easy for any of us. It's not going to be easy for me. And my prayer is, my real prayer is that the Holy Spirit doesn't make it easy for you. Okay? Because sometimes we get caught up in this, well, this is what I believe. Well, we can't do that. We can't get caught up in what I believe. We got to get caught up in what the Word of God says. And so as we do that, we know that God is love, and we're called to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and we're called to love our neighbor as ourself. And the only way that we can love, there's only one way we can love, and that's because He first loved us. And the reason He loves us is not because of anything that you and I have done. It's not because of anything you and I have done. It's because of His unconditional sovereign election. And there's a lot of people don't like to hear that. Guys, when we're born sinners. There's none of us righteous in here, no, not one. All of us in here are born enemies to God. All of us in here are born under the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not something that's preached from the pulpit anymore. And it needs to be preached because I'm telling you, oh lost sinner tonight, if you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is going to pour down upon you like nothing you've ever seen before. Tonight, repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this tonight, God not only loves, but God hates. God hates. Well, I can't believe that, Michael. Well, I'm just going to go by what the Word of God says, okay? No opinions on what I say. Not, you know, well, God, He hates the sin, but He loves the sinners. Well, I'm thankful that He died for sinners. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the Word of God makes this very clear about what He is and who He is and His absolute holiness. And in His absolute holiness, we have to understand what we know as hatred is not the same thing that God knows as hatred. Okay? When you have hatred, you have boiling emotion in your heart. You have boiling emotion in your soul. You have a hatred towards somebody. You have a hatred towards someone. You have a hatred towards something. And there is something called a righteous hatred. We're going to talk about some of this tonight. But as we look at this tonight, we know that hatred is not an emotion of God. Because I'm thankful to stand before you in this pulpit tonight to tell you this. Our God does not change. And when we think about the holiness of God, we've got to think about the covenant of God. And when we think about the covenant of God, it blows my mind to think this. Because I've never thought this way before. Love everyone. Right? Love everyone. But listen to what the psalmist said. The psalmist David said in Psalm 11:5, "The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates." Hates. He didn't say anything about the sin. He talked about the sinner. Then he goes in Psalms 5:5 and David says this about our God.
He says, you hate all workers of iniquity. You hate all workers of iniquity. One of the most disturbing passages, may not be for you, but it is me, Romans chapter 9. The purpose of God according to election might stand not of works. Did you hear that, church? Not of works. It's not because of anything that you and I did for our salvation. It's because of His marvelous election. He says, not of works, but of Him who called, it was said to her, the older serve shall serve the younger. And as it is written, wow, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And some of my good Baptist friends will say, oh, he's talking about countries there. He's talking about Israel and he's talking about Edom. Well, even if he is, for our God to hate Esau, for our God to hate Edom, for our God to hate is profound. Because it tells me this, that we're nothing but worm. We're nothing but dirt. We're nothing but clay that needs a potter, the potter's hand, to make us and mold us into who we are. It's nothing that we do. It's all that He does. Jacob, I have loved. Esau, I have hated. What does this mean? Well, Dr. David Jeremiah said this, the next time someone complains that God hates Esau, remember this anecdote from the life of the famous British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. A woman approached him after he preached on the text from Romans 9:13, and she said, I cannot understand why God would say He hated Esau. That, Charles Spurgeon replied, is not my difficulty, madam. My trouble is to understand how could God love Jacob. My trouble, he says, is to understand how He could love Jacob. The greatest miracle is that God chooses to love any of us fallen creatures. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm thankful that my God loves me. That He loves a sinner like me. Can you say that tonight, old church? Can you say that tonight? We're dealing with a very difficult topic here. Because we've been taught all our life, haven't we? I know I have. Well, we're to love that sinner and hate the sin, but I'm here to tell you, our God's standard is different than our standard. His ways are not our ways. His ways are holy. Our ways, can we get honest with each other tonight? Our ways are very watered down. We accept everything under the sun. Oh, my cousin's gay now? Oh, big deal. Oh, my aunt and uncle, they went off and had an affair with somebody? Big deal. Our standards are very watered down. And God's standard has not changed. God's standard is holiness. And we forget that sometimes. So tonight as we look at this, I want you to take that Bible and turn to Proverbs. And as we look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 17... let's look at who the wicked person is. My prayer tonight is that it convicts all of us, because it sure has convicted me. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. A worthless person in the Hebrew means that it's he's somebody, the actual Hebrew word means he's a man of Belial. That means he's a man of Satan. It means that he's somebody that is absolutely worthless. It's somebody that is nothing. It is somebody that is absolutely just scum, if you will. A worthless person, a wicked man, somebody that is prone to evil, walks with a perverse mouth. The Hebrew actually means a crooked or twisted mouth. It actually means this. Perverse mouth means that they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Do you know people like that? Man, in my life, in the secular world, And I'm learning that in the church world too. There's people that will tell you one thing and do the exact opposite. There's people that will tell you one lie right in your eyes and then they'll go out and do the exact opposite. There's people that will shoot right out the side of their mouth one thing and turn around and do the exact opposite. They are a perverse person. James calls them unstable in their ways. There's nothing worse than to be around unstable people. In your family, in your job, in your church, in your friends, whatever it may be. Stay away from unstable people. They are worthless. They are a worthless person, a wicked man who walks with a perverse mouth. What do? Look at verse 13. They wink their eyes. You ever seen that before? I'll be talking to somebody and then somebody will, they'll have their back turned to that person and they'll come up behind them and they'll wink at you and go, you know, make fun of them. You know people like that? They do that little sixth grade juvenile junk all the time. And they wink and they point at them and make fun of them. They wink their eyes. I'd be sitting in meetings, big prestigious meetings, quote unquote. And people of prestige would be sitting up in these high places. And when this other person of prestige would talk, this other person in prestige on this board would look over and go, roll their eyes, wink their eyes. They wink their eyes. What does the Bible say next? It says they shuffle their feet. They shuffle their feet. Why? Because their feet is led to wickedness. Their feet is led to wickedness. Boy, I know a lot of people like that. Wherever something's wicked going on, they want to make sure they're there. If there's a keg party going on, they're going to be first in line. If there's a dope party going on, they're going to be first in line. Their feet are prone to wickedness. That's what they run to. They wink their eyes. They're prone to wickedness. And what does the next thing here say? They point their fingers. They point their fingers. This wicked person never takes accountability for themselves. They do what? They always blame others. Boy, I know a lot of people like that. They blame the system. They blame the teacher. They blame their principal. They blame the school board. They blame their parents. They blame the president. They blame the cops. They blame everybody. It's everybody else's fault instead of taking accountability for themselves. They point fingers at everybody else. Reggie Day told me one time, when you point your finger at somebody, you've got three more pointing back at you. They point their fingers. Not only that, he says in verse 14, they're that way because perversity is in their heart. Perversity is in their heart. Jeremiah 17:11 says this. I want to read this to you. I think it's good. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 say the heart is deceitful above all things. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Don't trust yourself. Don't. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. My heart is deceitfully wicked. My heart is deceitful, but above all things, it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Wow. Perversity is in his heart. He is a perverted man. He is a perverted woman. He is somebody that is totally against God. Why? Because they listen to their heart. And isn't that the world's motto today? Follow your heart. What baloney. What baloney. I remember that movie, The Titanic, come out. And that song that was sung by Celine Dion just broke records around the world. And oh, just follow your heart. Are you kidding me? Your heart is wicked. Your heart will lead you down the wrong path. Your heart will mess up every time. It's only by the grace of God that we are steered in the right direction. Perversity in his heart. He devises evil continually. That means that he's plotting evil even when he wakes up in the morning. Finding out somebody that he can ruin. finding out somebody he can stir up. You know people like that? They get up every morning on the wrong side of the bed. They go into the workplace and they find something to gripe about. Tomorrow morning when I get to work, before I ever have a faculty meeting, the first thing that's going to happen, there's somebody going to come to me and they're going to gripe about something. And guess what it's going to be about? It's going to be about somebody else. Because they have evil on their mind all the time, continually trying to figure out ways who they can hurt, what they can do, instead of making an organization, even making their family, even making their church a better place for tomorrow than what it is today. Think about that. They continually plot. The evil man sows discord. We're going to get into this in just a second. They love to see other people fighting. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say this. I worked with a guy. I love this guy. He's one of my friends. But he wasn't happy until everybody else around him was miserable. He loved to get things stirred up. And let me tell you what he'd do. He'd go get things stirred up on the job, and then you know what he would do? He would go and hide. And everybody else is quarreling, and everybody else is fighting, and he has sowed this discord, and he's out of the picture. You know people like that at church? They come in and they hop on every committee and they stir everything up and they get everybody in an uproar, and then all of a sudden, 3 months later, they're nowhere to be seen. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. But this is the truth. Because you and I live this every day, do we not? And if we're honest with one another, sometimes we fall into this category as well. So when we look at this, in verse 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. It means this, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. It will come fast, and it will come when they least expect it. Know this, church. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a righteous God. Our God is a just God. And our God will take care of evildoers. He will. He will. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. So, we get to this tonight. The seven things God hates. Wow. The seven things God hates. Solomon says these six things the Lord hates. Six is the number of man. We know this from the book of Revelation chapter 13 because the mark of the Antichrist, the number is 666. It's the number of man. Six is an incomplete number. So he says, oh no, not just six. He says, yes, seven. Seven is not a perfect number, but seven is a complete number. Seven are an abomination to him. To him. He hates them. Abominable means that he hates them. He hates these things. They're an abomination to him. Let's look at these this evening. Number one, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe number one is on the list before murder because I believe that number one is the cause of all the rest of these things. Number one is a proud look. It's pride. Thinking that you're something when you ain't nothing. Right? Look at this, a proud look. When we think about a proud look, we think about eyes of loftiness. We think about people that walk around thinking that they're somebody. Did you know if you're not in the certain clique at Mineola, Texas, you're a nobody? Did you know that? Thank you, Brother Frank, for saying amen. That's the truth. If you're not in a certain clique in Mineola, Texas, you're just considered a nobody. I've had people that I've known all my life, and when they're with other certain people, they won't speak to me because they look at me as a nobody. Am I right, Miss Nelda? Yeah. People all across town won't even speak, won't even say hi because I'm not in the inner circle, right? And so, what else do we fall into traps with? That same kinds of traps fall in when we get out to the ballpark, when we get to the country club, When we get to the social organizations of the town, well, if you're not on the Kiwanis Club, you're a nothing. You're a nobody. If you're not on this, you're not on that. You're a nobody. If you're not part of the Chamber of Commerce, you're not this, you're not that. Oh, you're a nobody. Well, let me tell you here this afternoon. I'd rather be a nobody in the Lord's army than to be a somebody in Mineola, Texas. Eyes of loftiness. Walk around because they think they got a little money in their pocket. Well, I'm going to tell you about that money. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. It's going to burn up. Just like everything else here on this old earth. It's going to burn flat up. You can't take it with you. These people have a proud look. Where did this proud look start? Well, it started with Lucifer. Lucifer was the worship leader of the angels in heaven. He was beautiful. Beautiful. This created being by God that led to worship in heaven, in his pride, he rebelled against God. Could God have said, no, he's never going to rebel and everything's going to stay perfect? He could have, but he didn't. Why? Because he's God. He's God. If you read in Isaiah, Ezekiel gives the account too of the fall of Lucifer. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I love what Isaiah says. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Hey, Satan is not in hell tonight. Satan walks to and fro on this earth. He's looking to seek and he's looking to devour those ones that he's after. Peter says he's like a prowling lion. He's on the hunt. He's on the hunt. Lucifer thought that he could ascend and that he could be mightier than God. In that language Isaiah reads there, it's much like he wanted to do what? He wanted to replace our Savior Jesus Christ. He wanted to be the one to sit among the congregation. He wanted to be the one on the north side of the assembly. He wanted to be the one to get all the glory. He wanted to be the one. And what happened? He was cut down and sent down to this earth. Pride. Pride. Boy, I know a lot of prideful people. A lot of prideful people that let things get in their way. Dr. John MacArthur said that our kids and education have been absolutely ruined today. They've been ruined because they've been taught a false doctrine called self-esteem. Self-esteem says, well, you are somebody. Humanism really says this, you really are something. You really are good at what you do. You are who you are because you've been, you're the one that made yourself. You're the one that got you to where you're at. That's humanism at its finest. Self-esteem says, well, yeah, I really am good. I really am this. I really am that. When our Bible tells us what? There's none of us righteous. No, not one. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. Amen? That's not me talking. That's the Word of God talking. The proud look is the number one thing God hates. If you're here tonight with a proud look, I'm going to preach it right now. This is what I can't stand. When I walk by somebody at Alba Godin High School or Alba Godin ISD, and I say, good morning, John, how are you doing? And they walk right by me with their nose in the air. Michael, that don't happen, does it? It happens every day. Every day, Brother Curry, every day. People do not speak. They do not acknowledge you. They have nothing to do with you because they have so much pride that they can't even say hello, good morning, kiss my foot, whatever. They can't even speak. And you say, well, that's just the kids. I'm talking to the adults too because they're just as bad. People can't say hi. People can't shake your hand. People can't hug your neck because they think they're too good. Too good. You know what infuriates me? I'm going to tell you everything tonight. When you got janitors that work for nothing up there. Man. Janitors that work for nothing up there. And people don't even know their names. Don't even know their names. Don't even care to know their names. Don't even care to know their kids. Don't even care to know their families. Because they just don't care because they're too prideful because they think they're somebody. A proud look is number one on the list that God hates. I hope I've driven that home tonight. Number two, He hates a lying tongue. He hates a lying tongue. God is truth. We said that God is love. Let me tell you what else God is. God is truth. And if God is truth, He hates liars. He hates people that lie. He hates people that tells lies. And I'm going to tell you what, liars are going to bust hell wide open. And I'm going to tell you what that verse is later on when we close tonight. If you're sitting here today and you're a liar, let me tell you something. The father of all lies is the devil. And he loves it when you lie. He loves it more than anything when you lie because you are following what he wants you to do because he's the father of all liars. John 8:44. You know what lies do? Lies divide and destroy, do they not? I've lost a lot of good friends over lies. Right? I've told some lies. And I've hurt some good people. Right? Y'all looking at me like you ain't ever told a lie. Psalm 116, verse 11. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said his seminary professor quoted this to them. And he said he thought on it for years. And he says it is as true as when it is written, as it is as true as it is spoken today. You know what Psalm 116 verse 11 says? It says all men are liars. All men are liars. He wasn't just talking about males. All men are liars. That's who we are. Liars. That's why we need a Savior. A lying tongue. God is truth, and boy, does God hate lies. The third thing on the list is this. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. This week, I tell you, I sometimes don't even want to watch the news. I don't watch TV much, very rarely. But one thing I do watch is this stupid phone. And the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is read my Bible on my phone, read my Bible and my hard copy, and I do a little praying, a little studying, talk to the Lord about some things. And then the next thing I do is go to these stupid apps. And one of the apps I got on there is Fox News because I like balanced reporting, right? And I get on there and I look at what the news headlines are and my heart just goes straight to the pit, right? This ex-football player in South Carolina kills that doctor and his grandkids, and the report on Fox News gives the horrific ways that he killed, point blank shooting the doctor and his wife and those grandkids, and then he turns the gun on himself. And yet, here's what the news reports. Not the tragedy of hands that shed innocent blood, but the tragedy that the NFL should be responsible because his brain may have some type of CTE concussion. Yeah, good grief. This is ridiculous. God hates those hands that shed innocent blood. Murders will burn in the deepest fire in the pit of hell. Charlie Manson will light hell on fire tonight when he goes to hell. I can promise you that. Saddam Hussein isn't going to be in the deepest parts of hell. Osama bin Laden's going to be in the deepest parts of hell, and they are going to burn forever and ever and ever because they are hands that shed innocent blood. They're going to burn. Jerry McFadden, the animal McFadden that carried those kids over here at Lake Hawkins years ago, McFadden is burning in hell tonight as we speak. Burning, folks, because these hands that shed innocent blood. God hates murderers. Thou shalt not kill. The Hebrew word kill means murder. Brother Schaefer's been teaching us this. You're missing out if you're not coming on Wednesday night. It's been good.
But let me tell you about the epidemic we have today in our country. Yeah, I heard it. Abortion. Amen. Yeah. You want to know why we're in the mess we're in? You want to know why we're a country that's under the Romans 1? You're going to reap what you sow. You want to know why? Because we have ordained the innocent killing of kids in this country. 1973, Roe v. Wade is a day in infamy when God turned His back on the United States of America. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why we are what we are today. Because of godless judges that said it's okay to kill a baby. 1 million babies each year die to abortion. Does that not break your heart tonight? If it don't break your heart, you're cold. You need to get to the altar and pray for repentance. You are a cold-hearted person that needs the Lord. 1 million babies a year die to abortion. They did a study and surveyed mothers. Why you have an abortion? Number one, the timing was wrong. Selfish pride. Right? Number two, I can't afford them. Well, we've got a Texas Baptist Children's Home down here at Waco or Waxahachie that would love to have them. Number three, I'm finished with childbearing. I've had mothers tell me, oh, I wish I'd have stopped at one. These others are just, they're just a burden. Oh, let me tell you something, church. You mamas and daddies out there, the greatest gift the Lord can ever give you besides salvation is this, those blessed little kids. Man, I could preach on that all day, but I'm not. Number four, and I might could sympathize with a young woman going through this, but as John and Lenita has told our Sunday school class and several other outlets, Juan and Anna and other people have resources out there where kids are scared. Young kid, 15-year-old girl, gets pregnant, doesn't know what to do. She has fear. There's places out there to help her have that baby and to help that baby get a good home. Listen, you may say, well, that's an accident. That's a mistake. Our God does not make accidents. Our God does not make mistakes. He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So to say that some kid is an accident or mistake, shame on us. They are made in the image of Almighty God. Almighty God. It breaks my heart to think about hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Some people said, don't preach on this tonight, Michael, but I'm going to anyways because I'm convicted on the Holy Spirit to say this. It means that they're a schemer. They're a schemer. They're devising wicked plans. And let me tell you, one of the greatest people in our nation today that's devising wicked plans is sitting in the White House in Washington, D.C. I'm just going to preach it tonight. If I get fired, I get fired. I'm going to say what's on my heart tonight. Tony Perkins said this about our current president. There are five things that the Christian community needs to watch out for. I don't care if you're a Democrat tonight. I don't care if you're a Republican tonight. I'm telling you what the agenda is tonight. And if you don't believe me, let's research it and I'll show you. Number one, he is going to codify Roe v. Wade. That means that states cannot come back and overturn it. Aren't you thankful for governors like what we have? You may not like him. I don't care what your personal opinion is on Greg Abbott, but I'm here to tell you today, I'm thankful that he's made a stand against abortion. The President of the United States is going to codify Roe v. Wade so that states can't overturn Roe v. Wade. The second thing that he's going to do is end the Hyde Amendment, which means this, every government spending bill will fund abortion. We'll fund abortion. Every government spending bill, when they pay... Whew, man! A heart that devises wicked schemes and wicked plans.
All of us, I want that stimulus check. Give me that stimulus check. Give me that stimulus check. And those sorry lawmakers in Washington, D.C., pass those stimuluses so they can pad our bank accounts and in the process pass abortion laws that say this: you can have abortions up to full term. Ridiculous! Blood money! Blood money! Church, we ought to be convicted tonight about the Word of God. Number three, he's going to reinstate the Obamacare mandate, which every business and nonprofit will cover abortion-causing pills and contraceptions. So if your employees decide they need this, you're going to pay for it. And boy, it's coming to the churches. Get ready. There's some fights that's already happened out there. Number four, transgender pick their own identity. Transgender pick their own identity. You say, oh, that'll never happen. We're dealing with it at Alba Golden. We are. Natalie can tell you, we battle this junk every day. Transgender identity. A college professor got fired this past week from a college because he would not call the student by their what they wanted to be called, their proper pronoun, he or she. He kept referring to that student what they were as far as their gender went. But it's coming, folks. You got a girls' state champion in wrestling that's a boy? What? You got a girl down there running in the state track meet, running the 100 meter dash, and she's a boy? Yeah, she's going to win. He's going to win, whatever they're called. Transgender pick their own identity. And here's number five, what Tony Perkins said: gender reassignment surgeries. This is straight from the pits of hell, where the kid gets to say, I have never in my life understood this. Never in my life understood how a kid gets to pick who they are. If I'd have come home and told Jerry and Cherie Mize something like that, you'd still see me hollering out here in front of this road. They'd have beat me so bad with a belt. I told my dad in high school one time, I said, I'm going to get an earring. He says, you get one, you won't have an ear. Right? We need more parents like them. We need parents that toe the line and hold the mark and say, this is what we stand for. Not some type of gender mutilation to kids. That is straight from the pits of hell, folks. But that's what this president stands for. There's some more. We're running out of time, but I'm going to do it anyways. I love y'all. And there's some of you in here that's had to get the vaccine, and I totally understand why. I totally get it. I'm not judging you. Remember this morning? We're not going to judge over those things. I've been asked, Michael, you going to get the vaccine? No, I'm not. Well, why? Well, I gave blood in February, and number one, I still have antibodies from when I had COVID back in April last year. Well, are you going to get the vaccine here in a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months? No. What about a couple of years? No, I'm not. What's your conviction on that? Well, let me just tell you this. There's some people that we're all listening to that are evil as evil gets. They are devising wicked schemes. Why would I listen to a guy that created Microsoft by the name of Bill Gates to tell me that I need to take a vaccine? Why? Tucker Carlson, last week on Fox News, said that Bill Gates is pouring billions of dollars into a project to dim the sun. Many of you seen this. Many of you seen this. This is evil to the utmost. And then the geek gets on NBC News with his little Mr. Rogers sweater in his little glasses, and he sits on there and he talks in his little nerdy voice about how everybody needs to get the vaccine. And oh, guys, didn't you know COVID-19 is not the start of it? Oh, in 2025, there's going to be another wave that hits. Now, how are these guys so omniscient? You want to know why? Because they're behind all this. Dr. Fauci, whatever his name is, and Bill Gates run Johns Hopkins Institute. They partnered with a lab in Wuhan, China, to develop this biological warfare, and it was released into a street animal that these people have been eating for centuries in China, and it spread like wildfire, and the Chinese government let 5 million people in the province of Wuhan fly all over the world, and what did we have come to fruition? We had COVID-19 break out everywhere. Everywhere. It's been a disaster. It's been a plague. And it was started by men that are evil. And God hates evil schemers. Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, Google him. There's a reason they did this. Because they're getting what started called the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is coming, and the people they have in office right now are going to push this agenda to the hilt. The American dream is no longer going to be the American dream. Doesn't it burn you up when you look at your check and the taxes they take out? And what they use for those taxes, money that they tax us, is so ungodly. It's already 7 o'clock. Man. Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, the big tech. Even lost people are telling me, Michael, you got Netflix? Yeah, I think so. I don't ever watch it. Watch Social Dilemma. They train your brain. Google did what? They basically get you to think the way that you think. And this is the truth. There are studies that are being done among our young people. Their addiction to technology has caused a steep decline in their physical health and a steep incline in mental health. I deal with kids every day that believe they're living a video game. It breaks your heart. My brother-in-law was telling me about this social dilemma. You put your phone on. I keep my phone on silent, and that's the best. But some people, their phone goes off all the time. So that phone's on silent. And when it's on silent, thank the Lord, when I put it down, I just get away from it. But then when I hear it kind of buzz, go over and hit it. Oh, what do we got here? USA Today. Students feeling crushed by depression, stress, or anxiety are now back in the classrooms. How can schools meet their needs? Right? That's how they program you. So instead of saying, kids, tough it up. Grow up. Be a man. I can't say that anymore. I said in an assembly out at Alba Golden that your generation's just a bunch of snowflakes, and I had kids coming to my office crying. That's why I'm stepping down. I don't want a part of it anymore. We deal with depression, stress, anxiety, and people have been dealing with that since Adam and Eve. The heart devises wicked plans. These guys are going to be held accountable, folks. And when they're going to be held accountable, I'm going to tell you this, if they did it like they did back in the Old West and took them up here to the town square in Mineola and hung them in front of the town, we wouldn't have some of the nonsense we have like we do today. Michael, you sound like you're a big fan of Bill Gates. Why in the world would people listen to somebody that's a computer nerd tell me I need to get a vaccine? Why would some people listen to a computer nerd that says we need to blacken the sun? Why would somebody tell me I need to listen to these guys that their stock and their millionaire portfolios are in these private labs that are American-owned in China? It don't make sense to me. That's why God hates people that devise wicked schemes. And He gives you, O church, the gift of discernment to do what? To see right through them. Right through them. Some of you are ready to just walk out of here, and that's fine. No. Number five, feet that are swift to running to evil. What do? These feet that are swift to running to evil, they're busybodies. They love to get right in the middle of everything. They're not only busybodies, but they're tempters. They try to get everybody else tempted to do sin. You ever had friends like that? Well, they try to get you to do these things. Their feet are swift into running to evil. They're lawbreakers. All they like to do is go out there and cause as much trouble that they can and break the law and tempt everybody else and busybody into everybody else's business. I'm going to tell you what, this world would be a lot better place if you just took care of yourself. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Man. Number six, it's one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:16. In Exodus 20:16, it says that a false witness who speaks lies, these are an abomination to the Lord. Who is a false witness who speaks lies? Well, that would be somebody that commits perjury. They're taking an oath and they get on the stand and they lie. Boy, hadn't we seen that in the last several years? I tell you what, I don't know what your opinion is of Trump and whatever it is, I don't care. But I'm just going to tell you that man was done wrong. He was done wrong. And a false witness who speaks lies, number one, they purge. Number two, a false witness who speaks lies, they are in the government and they governmental lies. People that are false witnesses who speak lies, business lies, that have this oath that they've taken and they lie, 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 and lie. And then on top of that, we have people that have taken a covenant with their wife or a covenant with their husband, and they lie. That's a false witness who speaks lies. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm not into replacement theology. I believe that there's a plan for Israel, and I believe that there's a plan for the church through God. And I believe this with all my heart. When we talk about this, I believe that God has a covenant with the local body of Christ. I believe that God has a covenant with the bride of Christ. And when you and I lie against God, we are somebody that is a false witness who speaketh lies. And last on the list, we've looked at a proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and last but not least, I told you we'd get back to that, one who sows discord among brethren. How do they do that? Number one, it goes back to the tongue, does it not? The best way you can sow discord at your place of work, in your family, in the church, is to gossip. When you gossip about somebody else, you're sowing discord in the body of Christ. And I'll be honest with you, all of us in here are guilty of that. All of us are. The second thing of how you can sow discord among the brethren is this. Show an emotional outpouring of anger. I've seen people get mad among the brethren and get mad over the stupidest things. Little bitty things. And you know what it all went back to? It went back to pride. Yeah. Not only that, but there's some people that just have a quarreling spirit. They love to come into God's house and they love to stir people up. They love to have arguments with people. They love to get in discussions and debates with people. And they love to make a spectacle of themselves. They love that. Instead of just pulling a brother or sister over quietly and saying, "Look, you hurt my feelings. Michael, I didn't agree with what you preached tonight. Michael, I didn't like your tone tonight in the message. Michael, I don't like this. I can take constructive criticism. I may not agree with you. But you know what? We don't have to do it all out in the open for the world to see. Can I get an amen? Amen. Sometimes people sow discord among the brethren by starting up foolish questions. How many of you have been in a church that's split? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. This church split. It's not fun. As a matter of fact, it's heartbreaking. As a matter of fact, it'll make you not even want to go back to church. But hey, when a church is unified, right? The Lord's blessing us at New Hope. When a church is unified, when a church is going in the right direction for the Lord, I love what the psalmist says here in Psalms 133. Let me read that to you real quick. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, how pleasant it is to come to the Lord's house and everybody is getting along. Everybody is singing in the same hymn book. Everybody's praying. Everybody's giving. Everybody's got their Bible. Everybody's worshiping the Lord. Everybody is getting along in unity with one another. Oh, how pleasant that is. David says it's like a precious oil up on the head. It runs down to your beard, the beard of Aaron. Running down on the edge of his garments, it's like the dew of Hermon. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. How beautiful it is to dwell with the brethren in unity. You're sitting here tonight and you say, well, Michael, I'm not a troublemaker in the church, but there's just people I don't like in the church. Well, you know what? Join the club. We're not all going to get along. We're not all going to see eye to eye. But you know what we all should agree on? That Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we agree on that, He says this, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. But He also gives a warning. And I want to end with that tonight. Flip over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. We want to look at verse 8 and verse 27. To my saved brothers and sisters tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit has convicted you. Boy, we need some praying, don't we? We need some help, don't we? Man, this old sermon's convicted this old preacher. Convicted me bad on some things I need to shore up my life. God is love. God is love. But God also hates. Our God's a just God. Our God's a righteous God. And there's coming a day, a reckoning day, where you and you alone will stand before Almighty God. You won't have your husband there. You won't have your wife there. You won't have your kids there. You won't have your preacher there. You won't have anybody there but you and Almighty God. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and listen to this. This backs up Psalms, right? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Flip over there to verse 27. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination, or look at this, or a lie. You think God takes lying seriously? He says the ones that will enter, praise God, are only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heavenly Father, we praise You this evening. Lord, thank You for Your Word that convicts hearts. Lord, thank You for Your Word that, Lord, when we see ourselves in Your Word, we see that we are wretched, that we are no good. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that You sent Your Son. You sent Your Son to pay the debt to pay the sin debt in my place. Praise You tonight for that, Lord. Lord, there may be people here tonight with a proud look, a lying tongue. There may be people here tonight with feet that love to run to evil. There may be people here tonight that love to sow discord among the brethren. Lord, my prayer is tonight You take that heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. Lord, give them the gift of faith to receive You unto salvation, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray that tonight. Lord, for us as a church, Lord, as we grow, we suffer growing pains. And as we do, let us always be reminded by Your word that it is pleasant in Your eyes when brethren dwell in unity. Lord, take us. Use us. Use us as a vessel unto Your glory. We love You, God. And we praise You tonight. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank You for being here tonight. If I've offended you by some comments that I've made, I'll be happy to sit over here and talk with you, and we can go in private so it's not a public spectacle. But my prayer is this for you. You let the Word of God convict your heart. And as the Word of God convicts your heart, discern the times. Do you know ABC is not right all the time? Do you know Fox is not right all the time? Did you know this is right all the time? We stand on the Word of God. Come back Wednesday night. Exodus chapter 22 in Brother Schaefer's class at 6 p.m. Ephesians in Brother Curry's class at 7 p.m. Youth is out at the Nature Preserve this Wednesday night. Next Sunday morning, we'll be back in the Gospel of Mark. And next Sunday night, we'll be back in the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. I love all the Bible, but boy, I tell you what, Proverbs will bite you to the bone. Bite you to the bone. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Jean, come up here and lead us out in a hymn of praise.